We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
He is the prophet that kind of defines prophet going forward in the Old Testament, Moses. Joshua, his successor, while he is in many ways like Moses and does many of the same things that Moses did, Joshua is never called a prophet. He does hear from God. He actually has a vision of the second person of the Trinity in the form of the commander of the armies of the Lord, but not called a prophet. I wonder why. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The church is remembering Moses and Joshua in the early days of September. We will do so in the next half hour or so. Dr. Adolf Harstad joins us. He's professor emeritus of Old Testament at Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary and author of the Concordia Commentaries on Deuteronomy and Joshua. Dr. Harstad, welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
What is the main similarity of Moses and Joshua?
The main similarity, I would say, would be simply that they are both the national leaders of God's covenant nation of Israel. That they certainly have in common.
What's the main difference between them?
Well, Moses is the mediator of the covenant. Joshua certainly was not that. Moses is the first prophet and the model for all prophets, and Joshua is never called a prophet. Now, you asked for the main difference. I've mentioned two things already. Maybe that's enough.
The book of Exodus gives us a detailed story of Moses' birth. Why is that so important?
Well, here he is, this innocent baby who is supposed to be killed. Obviously, there has to be some intervention. And the one intervening for the good of the salvation of the whole world is God himself, Yahweh. So it's important to show the helplessness of human beings. God must take care of everything, and he certainly does that in the case of baby Moses, because he lives to be 120 years and does a whole lot during those years.
When do we first hear about Joshua?
Joshua, he's the general in Exodus 17 is the first time we hear his name. His name was, first of all, Hoshea, and then changed by Moses to Yehoshua or Joshua. But the first time is in Exodus 17 when Israel is fighting the Amalekites.
Tell us about the call of Moses.
Yeah, what more dramatic call could there be than the Lord speaking out of a burning bush? But Moses had been living among the Midianites, married a Midianite wife. The Lord speaks to him. First of all, it's called the angel of the Lord, but then out of the burning bush speaks the Lord himself and tells Moses that he's got work for him, and he tells him his name, and thus we get the name Yahweh, which means he is what he is, because God says of himself, I am that I am. So very dramatic call to emancipate God's people so that he can fulfill his promise.
Do we know why Joshua is chosen to succeed Moses?
Well, he's chosen because God wants him to be the leader. I mean, that's the only real answer. We shouldn't look too much at what is inside of a man, because God can change human beings, and he has his own reasons for choosing his leaders. we are told that he was a man filled with the Spirit. He had the Spirit of wisdom, so he had the Holy Spirit. So he was a man of faith. Did God choose him because of that? Well, God chose him because God wanted him to be the next leader. And Moses then places his hands on Joshua and places some of his Spirit upon Joshua. This is all at the Lord's command.
You mentioned earlier that Joshua is never called a prophet. Should we consider him to be a prophet like Moses?
Well, I hesitate to do that when the Bible itself doesn't call him a prophet. But it is certainly true that he preaches that great speech at the end of the book of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and so forth. So he has to do a lot of speaking to Israel. But he is never called, in Hebrew it's Navi, someone who speaks for God. So he is never called that, and yet he does perform at least some of the functions of a prophet.
If you would talk about the way that Moses is portrayed as struggling with both the people and with God.
Yes, struggle, struggle. God had told Moses to have a certain group of men, elders, who would judge the cases in Israel, but Moses should take the difficult ones. And he did that, and that was certainly a struggle in and of itself. And then Moses couldn't handle the whole nation's problems. Court cases is what they were. So struggling with the people in that regard. And then, of course, there are the rebellions of the people, including his own sister Miriam and his brother Aaron, and the people rising up against him. Now, struggling with God, Moses says, I can't talk. I'm not an eloquent man. I can't do this job. Find somebody else. So he's struggling with God there. And then Moses struggles with God as he intercedes for the people after they have rebelled, and God listens.
Joshua has an encounter early on with a celestial being that is in charge of God's armies. Why is that a significant event?
Well, it's one of those great appearances of God. You know, he's called the commander of the army of the Lord. But then later on, Joshua bows down and worships him when he realizes who this is. So the biggest hint that this is the pre-incarnate Jesus, Son of God, is that worship aspect. And there's very many similarities between that scene and God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. Joshua worships the person, or Joshua takes off his sandals at the command and all of this. So the very strong suggestion is this is the same one who appeared to Moses. In other words, Yahweh.
Why is that important for understanding Joshua's later military exploits and conquests?
Well, Joshua is the earthly commander of the Lord's army, called to defeat the Canaanites and settle in the land to keep God's promise. But now watching over him, present with him, is the heavenly commander, who is Jesus himself. And wonderfully, they have the same name. The name Jesus is exactly the same as the name Joshua, Jesus in the New Testament Greek. They're both called Jesus. So there's a neat connection of the two commanders, the heavenly one and the earthly one.
So describe Joshua's military exploits and conquests.
Oh, that's the entire book of Joshua. So soon after crossing the Jordan River that Moses was not allowed to cross, there is that encounter at Jericho. This is right after, by the way, that encounter between Jesus and the commander of the Lord's army. So Joshua is being prepared for that first battle. So Jericho, I guess everybody knows that story from Joshua 6, and the walls came tumbling down and because of the Lord's might. And then moving on through the land from there, the central campaign, the southern campaign, the northern campaign, until the whole promised land is in the hands of Israel, and now the people need to get settled in. The other part of the book of Joshua, the second half, is the distribution of the land after the military exploits of Joshua and the nation of Israel.
You mentioned Moses not being allowed to enter. Why is that?
It was that scene when God told him, "Speak to the rock, and water will flow out." And Moses thought he needed to take things into his own hands and do better than what God had said. And so he strikes the rock several times, angrily, upstaging God, so to speak. So the consequence was that God said, "You have made me to appear unholy in front of all of Israel, and there's going to be an earthly consequence to that, and that is that you will not be able to enter the promised land." Now, that does not mean that Moses was not forgiven. He was indeed forgiven. And he is called at the end of his life, again, the servant of the Lord. But that was the single case that led to his being barred from crossing the Jordan and entering the promised land, even though he pleaded several times, "I want to cross the Jordan," but God said no.
Dr. Adolf Harstad is our guest. We're talking about Moses and Joshua. How is the story of Moses' death told there in the book of Deuteronomy?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's August, and time to look forward to the academic year. Ad Crucem has just what you need to beautify your classroom, at home or school. We've crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, Luther's Daily Prayers, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Athanasian Creed, Liturgical Calendar, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We are remembering, as well as comparing and contrasting, Moses and Joshua from the Old Testament with Dr. Adolf Harstad, Professor Emeritus of Old Testament at Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. So, Dr. Harstad, how is the story of Moses' death told there in the book of Deuteronomy?
That's the very last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Very interesting and quizzical chapter. Moses is told to go up Mount Nebo, where he gets a panoramic view of the promised land across the river, so he gets to see it, bird's eye view, but his feet will not walk on it. Before that, God had said, go up the mountain and die. Imagine that command, and it's an imperative in Hebrew. Go up the mountain, Moses, and die. And, of course, when God says die, we die. And at age 120, Moses dies on Mount Nebo. Now, the very interesting thing is that the next phrase is, and he buried him. There's only one person there, and that is God himself, Yahweh himself. So Yahweh buries Moses, and then a comment is made that nobody knows where that grave is to this day. Of course, we know that Moses appears again in the New Testament, but he did indeed die, probably 1406 BC, on top of Mount Nebo.
So how does Joshua, you had mentioned him leading the people into the promised land, how does that happen?
After Israel mourns for Moses for 30 days, that was the usual amount of time of mourning, God says to Joshua, it's time to get going here. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Meditate on my word, and we're going to cross the Jordan, and I'll fulfill my promise. First, Joshua sends out spies to see what the land is like, and the spies land at Jericho, as we know, and meet Rahab, etc. So Joshua is called to do that, of course. He's the military commander, not prophet, as we said earlier, but the military commander and the head of the whole covenant nation of Israel. But he is the general now who is allowed to cross the river at God's command.
What do we know about Joshua's death?
He's buried in his tribe, ancestral tribe, which is the tribe of Ephraim. Shechem, heart of the land, modern Nablus, which is a hotbed of activity at this very time today, as it has been for a long time. So that's where he is buried. By the way, I mentioned his tribal name, Ephraim. That means that Joshua was a man of mixed race, because Joseph is great grandpa, however generations it goes, married an Egyptian woman, Asenath. And so Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, were of mixed race, half Egyptian and half Hebrew. And so Joshua has that mixed blood in him for his lifetime, and obviously where he's buried. So we shouldn't think of God looking for racial purity. He wasn't. He was interested in covenantal purity.
How does Moses prefigure Christ?
There's, of course, the great prophecy, says Moses, the Lord your God will raise up from among your brethren, you know, from your brothers, a prophet like me. And so Moses was the first prophet and the model for all prophets, but Jesus is the prophet. And people knew in New Testament times that there was going to be this special prophet. And so they asked several times, the disciples asked and others asked, could this be the prophet? So Moses is prefiguring Jesus in the sense of prophet, being the great prophet. He also prefigures Jesus in the sense of being mediator. Moses mediated, stood between God and man at Mount Sinai, and gave the covenant and the covenant stipulations. So a mediator, of course, Jesus is the mediator who gave himself for the world to give us the new covenant. He mediated it himself. He is the God-man. So mediator, prophet, in many ways, like Jesus.
How does Joshua prefigure Christ?
We mentioned before the name itself prefigures Jesus. His name, Joshua, son of Nun, the Old Testament character, is named twice in the New Testament. And where it does appear in the Greek, it's identical to the name Jesus, Jesus. And in those passages, another way that he prefigures Christ is this: Joshua brought rest to the people of Israel, right? He conquered the land. The people of Israel could settle down and find physical rest, no longer on the march through the 40 years of marching and through the wilderness. Now they have a kind of rest. Well, the book of Hebrews says the greater Jesus, the greater Joshua, Jesus, brought real rest. The Old Testament rest giver only gave a limited kind of rest. Jesus brings spiritual rest, peace with God, forgiveness, life, salvation, and the spiritual rest that comes to souls from that. Jesus himself says, I will give you rest. Come unto me.
How should the church then remember both Moses and Joshua?
They should remember them with high honor. God chose these men. They should remember them as faithful. Now, that does not mean perfect, as we know. Both of them had their flaws, but they were forgiven, and they were faithful, especially in the sense of having faith. They trusted in the promises of God, so they were looking forward to the salvation that their Savior, too, would earn, Jesus, the New Testament Joshua. So we should remember them with respect, because that's the way the Bible speaks of them, and we should remember them and thank God for the great service that they provided for the church, in a limited way, Old Testament way, of course, but preliminary for salvation.
Dr. Adolf Hallstatt is Professor Emeritus of Old Testament at Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary, and he's author of the Concordia Commentaries on Deuteronomy and Joshua. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Hallstatt, thank you.
You're welcome.
We will be discussing religion in Japan. It's a pretty complex picture, with Dr. Daniel Jastrom right after the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island, Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.